Everybody, get those challahs in the oven, turn those ovens up, sit back, turn up the radio, because it's time for the Jewish Experience. Hello, everyone. It's coming up to Hanukkah time, the season of revealed miracles, and the fact we're still Pittsburgh's number one Jewish radio show is definitely a revealed miracle. Thank God. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. It's Parshas Vayeshev, and it's Jacob's son. Joseph has become his father's favorite. Not a good idea, because it generated resentment among the other 11 kids who conspired to kill Joseph, especially after Joseph tells him he's designated to rule over them. Well, anyway, Joseph ends up getting thrown in a pit, and traveling merchants take him down to the land of Egypt. Jacob mourns the loss, but somehow holds out hope. Meanwhile, Joseph gets sold to Potiphar and eventually gets himself thrown in prison. Hey, you'll have to stay tuned till next week to find out if and how he gets out. Meanwhile, your award-winning staff has escaped from its zoo and is ready for another exciting Shabbat weekend. Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, Ms. Deborah DeLynn, Chef Chaim Reisner, and of course, Musical Moish will be right back there with you, getting in the mood to get ready for Hanukkah and another exciting Shabbat weekend. Hanukkah begins Sunday night, right after that exciting Shabbat weekend. We'll have your community announcements and Mazel Tovs, along with current news, fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up on the half hour. Program today is sponsored in part by Ed Kramer of Kramer's Windows, by Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, and by Artistic Photography, when you want to get it right the first time. By the way, they also sponsor the Jewish Experience Radio Program's website, JewishExperienceRadio.com. Stop by for a visit and stay for a Jewish experience. And candlelighting time this week, we're moving up now, no later than 4:40 p.m. And now, Judah Maccabee's right-hand man, Mr. Moshe Pickar.
Maccabee, what's that and back of me? Greeks are attacking me, don't let them whack me. Chicka, 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 bop, bop, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da Heavy. Did you know there's an Israeli beer called Maccabi?
Yes.
Have you ever tasted that?
Yes. Hebrew Hammer drinks it all the time.
Anyways, I'm in the mood for latkes. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that Hanukkah festival. Did you know that latkes go with every dish? Each combination is the most delish. Latkes and apples, latkes and wines. We sit at the table and we do die. First you light the menorah from left to right. You add one candle on every night. So spin those dreidels and have some fun. Hanukkah's almost here. And we're number one.
That's it.
Olive oil.
Ready.
Chanukia.
Ready.
Latkes.
Ready.
Dreidels.
Ready.
Here we go. Hooray for Chanukah, a festive holiday spectacular. When Judah Maccabee drove the enemy into flight, our temple was restored, so we thank the Lord day and night. And now we celebrate by lighting candles numbered 1 through 8. As we reciprocate and appreciate all the gifts from heaven above. Hooray for Chanukah, Chanukah, the holiday we love. Hooray for Chanukah, it is a season so particular. A festive holiday when we dance and play to rejoice. From Grecian tyranny we were all set free. Lift your voice and start a candlelight. We will prevail when we assert our rights. And when our cause is true, we will then come through. Even though we are but a few. Hooray for Chanukah, Chanukah, the festival of lights.
Is everybody here yet?
Did you get out the Hanukkah gill?
I hope it's not chocolate.
Why? I like chocolate gill. I don't like bittersweet ones.
Well, there you have it, a little Hanukkah music to get you in the mood for Hanukkah. But first, we got to get through Shabbos. So here's something new from a new group called 613 and Lecha Dodi. Enjoy. Chadodi 613, and you heard your favorite selections right here on the J.E.
Like you're rocking into Shabbos with a little acapella there, buddy.
You got it.
All right, now we're turning to Rabbi Meir Goldwasser with a little story about how the Greeks wanted the menorah lit with defiled oil just to show there really is no God. But Judah Maccabee, with the help of God, showed the Greeks who's boss.
The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos tells us that when the Jewish people were victorious in the time of Chanukah against their enemies, they entered into the Beis HaMikdash, and they found that the ancient Greeks had opened up all the jars of oil that had the seal of the Kohen Gadol on them. This invalidated the oil from being used in the menorah. The oil was thus impure. There was, however, one flask of oil that they found. This flask of oil was enough to burn for one night. In place of burning for one night, it lasted for 8 nights. The following year, the Chachamim instituted the Yom Tov of Chanukah. One question begs to be asked. If the ancient Greeks truly wanted to see that the menorah would no longer be lit, why didn't they simply destroy the oil? Or why didn't they remove the oil from the Beis HaMikdash? From the Gemara, we can see that although they defiled the oil by ripping off the seal of the Kohen Gadol, nevertheless, they left the oil right in the place where the menorah was to be lit. The answer is, in truth, they wanted the menorah to be lit. For they also understood that the Torah contained within it great wisdom and morality. They told the Jewish people that mitzvahs such as honoring parents and giving charity were very great. Just as they have their own culture and literature, so they recognize that the Jewish people also have their own culture. What they were against, however, was the fact that the Jewish people said that the Torah was godly. They argued that just as their literature and culture are man-made, so too the Torah should be recognized as something that was man-made. Therefore, they said, the mitzvahs that you understand, fine, go and do them. But the mitzvahs that transcend understanding, such as oil being ritually defiled or ritually pure, such a thing like this should be done away with. It is for this reason that the Jews fought so vehemently against their enemy, to the point of self-sacrifice. They were upholding the Kedusha, the sanctity of the Torah, as a divine work.
I don't have to tell you, utility rates are expected to rise this winter, and it's not too late to save money by reducing your utility bills by installing new energy-saving windows. Call Kramer Windows, your neighborhood window contractor, with many business and residential references in the Jewish community. I've known Ed for many years, and the people that have benefited by his windows rave about the money they save due to the high cost of energy today and the great service Ed provides. Ed Kramer says, do a room or do the whole house. You'll be pleasantly surprised at the impact new energy-saving windows will make on your utility bills. And guess what? He offers free estimates. He says, our low overhead means the best prices anywhere. Call Ed today at 412-848-2262 to schedule a visit. That's 412-848-2262. Do it today before your next utility bill makes you wish you did it today. That's 412-848-2262. Ed Kramer, Kramer Windows. By the way, if you're over 62 and you own your own home, find out how you can get money from your home without having to ever pay it back as long as you live in that home. Call 412-562-2220. Get tax-free money now by calling 412-562-2220 to participate in a government-sponsored home equity conversion. First Mariner Bank, an equal opportunity lender. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947. and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. And now, back to the music with Moshe Pekar.
Of time move on, our brightest lights have gone, their souls have left a glow, a burning scar. The ones who fought for peace, who prayed for our release, who taught us to believe in who we are. Descended as every generation ended, there was always one who waited for the call to carry on the light and guide us. But now it seems it shines inside us, and so the torch has now been handed to us all. Goodbye. Where have they gone and why? And who will lead the way to carry on? The answer lies inside, where faith and courage are, where all the voices speak as they live on. We'll hear them calling to us to be near them. Silently their voices beckon and they plead. You can finish what we've started, share the vision we imparted. All you need to do is follow and we'll
with Shlomo Simcha and the torch inside.
Okay. Love the way he gets down there like that. And now it's time for the third part in the series by Rabbi Yosef Eisen, the author of Miraculous Journey with the incredible history of Hanukkah. Rabbi?
Part three of the Hanukkah story. Matisyahu, the leader of a prominent priestly family known as the Hashmonaim, Matisyahu may have been a Kohen Gadol, high priest, or a descendant of one. In addition to that aspect of his lineage, there are several possibilities for the origin of the name Hashmonaim. It might come from the town Hashmon, where this family originated. It is similar to the Hebrew word Hashmanim in the Book of Psalms, meaning nobles. Or it was merely a family surname. As is well known, Matisyahu's family also became known as Maccabees, Maccabim, which has several meanings. It is an acronym for the verse, Mi Chamocha Ba'elim Hashem, meaning, who is like you among the heavenly powers, O God? It represents the initial letters of the word Matisyahu Kohen Ben Yochanan, or it is the Hebrew word for hammer, Makav. Regardless of the origin of the family's given and acquired names, Matisyahu had five sons, Yehuda, Shimon, Yochanan, Yonasan, and Elazar. Hoping to escape Greek scrutiny in the large city of Jerusalem, they fled to the small hamlet of Modien. Clearly, the revolt against the Greeks was not for national independence. Babylonians, Persians, and Egyptian Ptolemies all controlled the land of Israel, yet the Jews never attempted to overthrow their rule. Only when the Greeks made Torah observance virtually impossible did the Jews fight. The revolt began when a Greek garrison arrived in Modien. Gathering all the Jews to the town square, the Greeks ordered Matisyahu to offer a hog to the Greek deities. He refused, exhorting the townspeople to be steadfast against the forces antithetical to Torah. When a renegade Jew approached the pagan altar in order to offer the sacrifice himself, Matisyahu killed him and the surrounding Greek soldiers, proclaiming, Mi Lashem Eli, whoever's for God, join me. With other loyal Jews, Matisyahu ran to the hills and began a guerrilla campaign against the Greek oppressors. Shortly afterward, Matisyahu, who was aged, died, leaving the leadership of the small but determined Jewish forces to his son Yehuda. Eventually, the Jews gathered 6,000 ill-equipped troops and began attacking the Greeks and their Hellenist Jewish supporters. Soon the Greeks realized the threat to their rule and sent armies to crush the incipient uprising. Despite having inferior forces at Shechem, Yehuda defeated a Greek army under Apollonius. Another army led by Saron met the same fate at Beis Horon. At this point, the enraged Antiochus sent an army of 40,000 infantry and 7,000 cavalry, led by his best general Lysias, against Yehuda. Camped at Emmaus, the vast force faced the 3,000 Jewish soldiers Yehuda mustered together. Facing suicidal odds of 1 to 16, where 3 to 1 odds are usually needed to avoid defeat, before going to battle at Mitzpah, Yehuda and his men fasted and prayed to God. That night, the Greek split their forces, one arm attempting a surprise raid on the Jewish camp. However, Yehuda anticipated such an attack and himself organized a surprise attack on the sleeping troops left in the Greek camp, killing them and capturing their stores. Realizing that their supply base was destroyed, the remaining Greek soldiers fled the battlefield.
Now, from the largest independent news organization in the Middle East, here's Ernie Singer with Israel National News.
The Jerusalem Post says Likud chairman Benjamin Netanyahu has ended his efforts to expel Moshe Feiglin from the party just 2 days after he announced the quest to purge the Likud of what he called negative elements. Netanyahu offering Feiglin a deal whereby Netanyahu would agree not to try to expel Feiglin from the party in return for Feiglin dropping his race for a slot on the Likud's Knesset list, according to party sources. Quoting Feiglin, I entered politics to advance ideas and not to enter the Knesset. I might have more impact outside the Knesset. Netanyahu, giving in to pressure from Dr. Uzi Landau and other Likud loyalist members of Knesset, who defended Feiglin because they want the support of the 120 Likud Central Committee members loyal to Feiglin when the committee elects the Likud's Knesset slate on January 9th. Netanyahu's spokesman has denied that there's a deal with Feiglin. Netanyahu's opponents have accused Netanyahu of delaying the primary because he wants more time to influence the list chosen by the Central Committee and convince committee members not to elect people who might be too right-wing. They also charge that Netanyahu has a hit list of members of Knesset he does not want to see back in the Knesset. The Central Committee convening on Monday in Tel Aviv to approve Netanyahu's proposal to reserve the second slot on the Likud list for Foreign Minister Sylvan Shalom. Two veteran members of the committee filing a petition with the party's high court against the guaranteed spot, attorney Shmuel Samuel and Yuval HaMeiri, are also opposed to the postponement of party primaries. Labor Party chairman Amir Peretz unfazed Friday by weekend polls that show a drop in support for his party. According to a Maariv newspaper Tel HaSeker poll, Labor would only receive 19 mandates in the Knesset elections. A Yediot Achronot poll indicating that Labor would lose one seat, bringing the party's projected total to 22. Army Radio quoting Peretz as saying, there is no doubt that Labor will win. Former Labor Party leader Shimon Peres, being quoted by Yedioth's Ynet internet site as saying he is likely to announce that he plans to join the Knesset lineup of Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's Kadima party. The defeated party leader moved over to Kadima, abandoning Labor, but first announcing he would not submit his name for a position in the party lineup for the 17th Knesset election. He's now stating that he expects to announce his decision in the next few days, appearing to be leaning toward joining the Kadima Knesset list. Israel has decided to step up its targeted killings of senior Islamic Jihad terrorist leaders in response to recent Qassam rocket fire. This is in addition to the previously announced decision to impose an aerial siege aimed at keeping terrorists from entering the ruins of three Jewish communities in northern Gaza that are frequently used as launch sites for the rockets. The siege and artillery fire not stopping a Qassam strike and the firing of a mortar between Thursday night and Friday morning. Military sources have admitted that the current measures are unlikely to stop the Qassams completely because Islamic Jihad, unlike Hamas, is not running in the PLO legislative elections and is therefore relatively immune to pressure from the public in the PLO-assigned areas. Knesset Defense and Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Yuval Steinitz has suggested that electricity be cut off to Gaza every time a missile is launched. An Israeli search and rescue team is in Chile to find four Israelis who went missing during a trek in the center of the country. The four traveling in the Villarrica National Park have not made contact with their families since beginning their trek there last week. They had been planning to reach a hotel last Sunday. Local rescue forces have been searching for the Israelis, but to no avail, according to Israel government radio. The foreign ministry says the path the travelers had taken was considered safe. The Hirsch Media Group is set to launch a new daily Hebrew newspaper, Israeli News, on January 3rd. The paper, which will be based on the format of the U.S. publication Metro, will be distributed free of charge to lunchtime passengers on the country's train lines. Sources close to the company say it plans on printing enough copies to make it the second most widely read paper in Israel. When is a parking lot holy? For a look at this question, listen to Alex Trayman on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. With snow starting to fall on Friday, operators of the Mount Carmel Resort will appraise the situation after the weekend storm to see if it's time to open up the slopes to skiers. Shabbat, Kaf Gimel, the 23rd day of Kislev on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast, colder with rain and isolated thunderstorms from the northern border to the northern Negev. On Shabbat, the rain and thunderstorms starting in the north and spreading to the Negev through Sunday. A stormy Sunday includes snow in the northern and central mountains, including Jerusalem. Rain will continue Monday morning. In Jerusalem, Friday, 10 degrees centigrade, 50 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea, 18 degrees centigrade, 64 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
And I want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat. And right after the Mazel Tovs and events coming right up, we'll have Jay Greenwald, a resident of the Land of Israel, who will be speaking on the Israeli fence that's been constructed recently. And he'll have some interesting comments, so stay with us. And the Mazel Tovs this week, we just have a couple with the old holidays and everybody out of town. Stephen and Jody Berger on the birth of a baby boy.
Mazel Tov.
And Barbara and Yale Rosenstein on their 50th anniversary.
Mazel Tov.
Label and Tanya Cohn on the birth of a daughter. And that's Label Cohn of the Agent MS fame. He's celebrating, of course, the birth of his daughter and celebrating the new fourth episode of Agent MS. What is that called? The Giant Ego.
Well, I think you and me are part of that family.
We're actually in the movie, so you need to go out and get yourself a DVD of the fourth episode, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. So Label Mazel Tov on that as well. And the events this week, a Dairy Malava Malka after Shabbos on December 24th at 7:30 p.m., that's tomorrow night, to see the Aisha Torah video Inspired. Refreshments from Milky Way are included. There's a new learning opportunity at Lubavitch Center each night from 8:30 to 10 p.m., an opportunity to learn with a partner. For more information, please call the yeshiva at 412-422-7300. The Judaic Library at Lubavitch Center is open to the public on Sundays 12 to 4:30 p.m., Wednesdays 3 to 4 and 7 to 8, and mostly Shabbos, 1 hour after Shabbos, for 2 hours. Stop in and check out a book or two or use the extensive research volumes available. Mystic's Guide to the Bible course, 8 p.m. at the Agency for Jewish Learning, 2740 Beechwood Boulevard. You can call the Kailo for more information at 412-420-0220. And, of course, the Kol has the Alvin Weinberg Father and Son Learning Program, and that'll be this Shabbos at 7:15 p.m. for boys grades 1 to 8. There'll be pizza and prizes, and due to construction, they'd ask you to use the rear entrance. The Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at the Olive Institute every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30. It's a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating or their weight. For more information, call Ilana at 412-422-422. 2224. Also, there'll be Hanukkah at the Mall Monday, December 26th at 5 p.m. That'll be at Monroeville Mall. They want to join us for a grand menorah lighting, live music, the Olive Press Workshop, Hanukkah Gelt for all children, and I guess you're playing for that.
I'm doing the music.
Am I playing for that?
The music man.
I don't know.
You can come and bring
your... I might be doing it, too. I don't know if I want to bring my knuckles.
Your drums.
Okay. Also, December 24th at 7:30 p.m., there's a fun fest at Harmerville. $18 for family for unlimited bowl. That's good kosher food, and there'll be a raffle for the kids, live music. So you want to be sure to be there as well. A lot of events going on. Finally, a menorah car parade, Tuesday, December 27th at 5:30 p.m. There'll be 35 cars lining up, and they'll be traveling through Squirrel Hill and Shadyside. It'll be an incredible gala parade with music and people singing and watching alongside the parade route, so you want to try to take advantage of that if you can get out there. If you would like to have your mazel tovs on our program, you can call us at 412-979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And don't forget that candlelighting time this week is no later than 4:40 p.m. I'd like to welcome to the Jewish Experience Jay Greenwald, who is probably experiencing more of the Jewish experience than most of us. He's living in the land of Israel after having been a resident of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he's living in Nevi Daniel in the Judean desert, and he's a businessman out there. Jay, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Herschelin. I'm pleased to be here with you this evening.
Great. We're going to talk this evening about the wall and the wall that Israel's building. And, of course, the wall's been very, very controversial. And one of the things that I want you to comment on first is the World Court, which has ruled that Israel must immediately stop its construction of the West Bank barrier. And they made that ruling, actually, I guess, almost a year ago, saying it's equal to annexation and in violation of international humanitarian law. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I, too, would like them to stop the building of the wall.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because I don't want to live in a walled community. I don't want to live in a walled society. I want to live in a free and open land, like anybody wants to live in a free and open land. I am against the wall's construction for the very purpose that, I'm not saying it's annexation, I'm saying I don't want a wall on land that God gave to his people as an inherent gift, and I don't think that that's what we should be doing with the land that God gave to us.
Sure.
Having said that, the wall is supposed to stop terrorists from getting into Israel proper,
mm-hmm.
and it's proven that it hasn't done it as recently as 2 weeks ago with the bombing in Netanya.
There was a British legislator that recently visited the region, and she said that she found the same conditions that she said were disturbing similarities between the notorious Warsaw Ghetto and what's transpiring in the Palestinian territories. And she said, she's a Jew, actually, that says this, which figures. But she said the conditions found in Gaza, for example, are the same in nature but not in extent. She said the very big difference is the Palestinians are not rounded up and put in gas chambers, but it's destroying them economically and so forth. Are the Palestinian economic situation being destroyed because of the wall?
The Palestinian economic situation has been destroyed long before the wall. If you look at any of the statistics and facts, you'll see that the economy is, because of all the graft and corruption within the society itself, and you can see that based on the legislation reform that the Palestinians themselves are demanding to take place in this up-and-coming election.
Mm-hmm.
And this, in fact, is why the Hamas is gaining more and more seats, because they are saying, we want election reform. We want this graft and corruption to stop. We want to start getting paid for our services, because there's so much graft in the communities of places like Gaza, places like Beit Lechem and Nablus, that it started long before any construction or any thought of any kind of wall began.
Sure.
It started with their own corrupt officials saying that you have to pay us in order to work in Israel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Israel's stated reason for building walls, you said, is to prevent attacks. But then one wonders, and why didn't Israel build the wall along the Green Line?
Well, that's a very interesting thing, because in my community of Nevi Daniel, which, is, as you mentioned, is in Gush Etzion, they have come up with a new kind of wall for us. instead of building along the green line, which if we had to have a wall in at all, this is where we ideally would like it to be put, they have decided to put a wall around each and every one of our communities individually.
Wow.
Much like parceling each and one of us off.
Yeah.
The type of wall that they're proposing to build is two chain link fences about a meter or 3.3 feet apart from one, 3 yards apart from one each other, and behind that a trench. What happens now is if somebody shoots at us, we're able to go up and to chase the shooter with a bulletproof Jeep. However, if there's a wall or a fence there, a chain link fence as they're proposing, then we will not be able to go after the perpetrators of the shooting as we are able to do now. That's one problem. The other problem is by blocking each and each community in, we are afraid in future negotiations with the Palestinians, they'll be able to say, we'll let you retain Efrat, but we're going to give to the Palestinians Neve Daniel. Whereas if the wall or the fence were to go along the green line, encompassing all of Gush Etzion, then we would feel truly that it's a block of communities together that will be retained by Israel and eventually be annexed to the state of Israel.
Well, do you think Israel's wall is designed to help Israel grab the Arab lands and make life so intolerable for the Arabs that they're going to be forced to emigrate?
Well, first of all, we're not grabbing any Arab lands, because if there's true peace and real peace, it shouldn't matter whether I, as a Jew, live with the Arabs or the Arabs live with me. We're not kicking any Arabs out of any of their lands. In fact, where I live, they work alongside of us on a daily basis in their wine, their vineyards and in their olive tree groves, picking and harvesting and working their fields alongside of Jewish growers in many of the same areas.
Sure.
So we get along very well, but it's the outside influences that come in, and the suicide bombers and the people who want to perpetuate this violence against our people and also their people.
Oh, yeah,
that is the concern.
Okay, well,
you have to understand one other thing, and that is that this wall encompasses, I'm inside the wall with 50,000 Arabs. So it's not blocking me out. So we're calling this wall that the government is proposing right now, not along the green line, but around the communities, as a political fence and not as a security fence, as they're trying to sell it to the rest of the world.
So what do you want? What do you want the government to do going forward?
If there has to be a fence, and the government and the people really want a fence, then it should be along, as you say, the 67 borders.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fence is the way it's proposed now. There are already 7 Jewish communities that have been established, and has been established for many years, that are already outside of this fenced-in area,
right,
which makes their property values today worth nothing, worth zero.
Sure. Okay, well, we are out of time, and I do appreciate the time being with us. I hope they'll find a common solution. I think it's just going to perpetuate the anger on both sides, and like you say, make it even tougher sometimes to keep your community safe.
Thank you for the interview, and if any of your listeners would like to get a hold of me, have them feel free to contact me at jbg@zahav.il, and I'll be more than happy to answer any and all of their questions.
Jay, thanks for being with us. That's been Jay Greenwald, businessman and resident of Neve Daniel in the Judean Desert in the land of Israel. Thanks again, Jay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Now, back to the music with Moshe Pataw.
Big love, 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 big love
Was a little cut from the Belza Hasidim.
Dream, 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 dream. Now, with all you ever wanted to know about dreams, here again is Devorah DeLynn.
Ever wake up one morning breathing hard and shaking? Ever experience a smile and a contented feeling while waking up on Shabbos? What gives us these emotions? What makes us feel such different reactions just from sleeping? The answer is discussed in this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayeshev. Yosef, Joseph, tells his brothers all about the dreams that he had. Well, before we analyze his dreams, let's look into some background information about Yosef. He was the oldest son of Rachel, Rachel, who was his father's favorite wife. Since Rachel died right after she gave birth to Benjamin, Yaakov missed her greatly and favored her children. And since Yosef was the eldest son of Rachel, he was his father's favorite son. The other brothers were jealous of his status and disliked him for it. And when their father gave Yosef the kisson espasim, the coat of many colors, the other brothers became even more envious and avoided him as much as possible. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh asked a very valid question. If Yosef knew that his brothers were jealous, why did he tell them about his dreams, especially since his dreams depicted a scene in which all the brothers and his parents would bow down to him? I mean, talk about tact! To answer this question, we must look into the nature of dreams. Dreams are one of the most incredible creations of Hashem. They are illusions that are inspired by our thoughts during the day that we perceive to be reality while sleeping. It's really amazing if you think about it. Many people will wake up some mornings and say, "Wow, that was a really incredible dream." They may ask people around them for their opinions on the meaning of that dream. Most of the time, dreams are just like nonsense that was derived from our thoughts. However, we know from the Torah that there were many sages and great people who dreamt certain things, and those things came true. Prophetic visions are very rare and happen most to those who are on a high enough level to receive them. And dream interpretation is very tricky because dreams can have many facets to it, so an interpreter can come up with different inferences than the intended meaning. For example, Rabbi Bana got 24 different interpretations, and the Gemara explains that they were all correct. Our sages tell us that when looking for dream interpretations, one should look for a person who is on good terms with them. Besides for the obvious reason that you'd normally trust someone who is nice, there is a phrase in Tractate Brachos that says, "Kol ha'chalomos holchim achar peh." All dreams come from the mouth. What does this mean? Well, when someone interprets a dream, sometimes he can determine different meanings, and by saying his interpretation, he may cause an evil eye. Therefore, it is a common practice to avoid saying bad dreams out loud in case of an evil eye. So let's go back to our question about Yosef. Why did he tell his dreams to his brothers? Well, Yosef hoped that by telling them his dream, they would find themselves an interpretation that made them happy and would cause them to like Yosef. However, their minds were clouded by their jealousy, and they drew bad conjectures and ended up selling Yosef into slavery. Yosef, of course, was correct in that his dreams were true prophetic visions. But for us people today, it's important not to place so much faith in our dreams. Though it's true that sometimes a person will have a true dream, it doesn't happen that often. If a person thinks that they had a true dream, they should consult a rabbi. What's important to realize is that the brothers were jealous of Yosef because of what he saw and of his status with their father Yaakov. They were so resentful that they ended up selling their own brother into slavery. Let's take it upon ourselves to take pride in the accomplishments of others instead of being jealous of them. By acquiring this midah, this attribute, we will speed the coming of Mashiach, when jealousy will be eradicated from the world and only joy and happiness will remain. Have a good Shabbos.
By the way, if you're over 62 and you own your own home, find out how you can get money from your home without having to ever pay it back as long as you live in that home. Call 412-562-2220. Get tax-free money now by calling 412-562-2220 to participate in a government-sponsored home equity conversion. First Mariner Bank, an equal opportunity lender. I don't have to tell you, utility rates are expected to rise this winter, and it's not too late to save money by reducing your utility bills by installing new energy-saving windows. Call Kramer Windows, your neighborhood window contractor, with many business and residential references in the Jewish community. I've known Ed for many years, and the people that have benefited by his windows rave about the money they save due to the high cost of energy today and the great service Ed provides. Ed Kramer says, do a room or do the whole house. You'll be pleasantly surprised at the impact new energy-saving windows will make on your utility bills. And guess what? He offers free estimates. He says our low overhead means the best prices anywhere. Call Ed today at 412-848-2262 to schedule a visit. That's 412-848-2262. Do it today before your next utility bill makes you wish you did it today. That's 412-848-2262. Ed Kramer, Kramer Windows.
To relax, and you also heard a little klezmer to get you in the mood for Shabbos.
And now you know what's time for.
Is it that
that prince of gastronomic delights, the prince himself, Chef Chaim Reisner of Chaim's Kosher Kitchen. Chaim?
Thanks, Hirsch. For this Shabbos, while the weather is still cold, let's make a hot parve meatloaf with curried mushroom gravy. So here we go. You're going to need 2 loaves of bread, crumbled up and moistened with water, 4 cloves of garlic smashed, 2 stalks of celery washed and sliced thin, 2 cups of water, 1 large sweet onion sliced, 1 red bell pepper peeled and pitted and sliced, 1 green bell pepper the same, 1/2 cup of extra virgin olive oil, 2 large portobello mushrooms washed and sliced, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of ground black pepper, 2 tablespoons of parve chicken soup stock, that's the powdered kind, 1 tablespoon of sugar, 4 eggs. Here's how you prepare it. Of course, the bread is broken up and moistened with water and put into a large bowl. Set aside. Saute all the vegetables until glossy, add the salt and pepper, then remove. Add to the bread mixture, mix well, place in oiled loaf pans, and bake at 350 for 1 hour. Now for the gravy. 1 large package of button mushrooms, washed and sliced thin. 1/2 of a sweet onion, chopped very fine. 1/4 cup of extra virgin olive oil. 1/2 of a cup of flour. 2 tablespoons of chicken stock powder, the same that we use for the meatloaf, 1 teaspoon of curry powder, and 1 tablespoon of sugar, 3 to 4 cups of water, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of ground black pepper. Now, saute the onions in the olive oil until glossy. Add the curry, stir. Add your flour, stir well. Add the water slowly. Add the salt and the pepper, and continue to stir until creamy. Add the mushrooms and simmer for 10 minutes. And that's all there is to it, Hirsch. And guess what? You made it. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. See you next week.
Now here again is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser with a story about how it's important to be concerned about all mankind. Rabbi?
From the following story, we can see the Rebbe's genuine concern not only for each and every Yid, but for mankind in general. The Rebbe's counsel was sought by national and international government officials of all levels. After one such meeting with U.S. Senator Patrick Moynihan, the Rebbe asked if he could request a favor from the senator. Here it comes, the senator thought to himself. Now the Rebbe is looking for the payoff. The Rebbe continued, there is a growing community in Chinatown. These people are quiet, reserved, hardworking, and law-abiding, the type of citizens most countries would treasure. But because Americans are so outgoing and the Chinese are, by nature, so reserved, they are often overlooked. Thus, they miss out benefiting from government programs. I suggest that as a U.S. senator from New York, you concern yourself with their needs. I was overwhelmed, the senator said afterwards. The Rebbe has a community of thousands in New York City and institutions all over the state that could benefit from government programs. I am in position to help secure funding for them. The Rebbe didn't ask about that. Instead, he was concerned with the Chinese in Chinatown. I don't think he has ever been there, and I'm certain that most people there don't know who he is. But he cares about them. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
As we put a wraps on another great JE program today, a couple of reminders. Dairy Malava Malka on after Shabbos on December 24th at 7:30 p.m. At the PZ Synagogue. There is a new learning opportunity at Lubavitch Center each night. Call the yeshiva for more information, 412-422-7300. Judaic Library at Lubavitch Center, open to the public. Check out a book or two. Use the extensive research library available. Mystic's Guide to the Bible Course, 8 p.m. at the Agency for Jewish Learning. And call the Kollel for more information on that, 412-420-0220. The Alvin Weinberg Father-and-Son Learning Program continues. Pizza and prizes Saturday night. And due to construction, they ask you to use the rear entrance. Don't forget, the Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets the Alvin Institute every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30. And the big event this week, Monday, December 26th at 5 p.m. on Roeville Mall, Grand Menorah Lighting, live music, and Hanukkah Geld for all the children. And also Tuesday, December 27th at 5:30, the Gailey Menorah Car Parade, going to be Shadyside and Squirrel Hill, 35 cars with menorahs lit on the top of the cars. Don't miss it. So as the Shabbos approaches, I want to be sure to thank once again our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Shulman, Chef Chaim Reisner, and Ms. Devorah DeLynn, and our engineer, Jeremy Bossy, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 4:40 p.m. Until next week, stand by. I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat.